All right, again, good morning to all of you. Good to see you all. Well, once I kind of get set up here, we will go ahead and pray again and get started, so. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this morning. We thank you for the chance to gather together, to be together in this building, in this place. We just pray that maybe with that extra sleep, we were able to focus a little bit better, pay a little bit better attention to you speaking to us on the things that you want us to hear and to know and to learn, and to ways that we can connect to you, and especially the ways that we relate and connect to each other this morning as well. Pray to thank you for your Son and for the forgiveness He offers, you offer to us through Him. And we pray this all in His name, Jesus' name. Amen. There were two brothers, Harry and James, and they had finished supper and they were just playing until bedtime. Well, somehow, in some way, one of them got hit in the eye with a stick. I don't know how this happens, right? It just happens with kids. And so, obviously, with that, there were tears, there were bitter words exchanged, and even as Mom was trying to get them ready for bed, there were still accusations and charges being laid and all these, you know, this fighting and frustration going on between the brothers. And finally, the mother says, you know, boys, if consider this. If one of you dies tonight, you're not going to be able to forgive the other one in the morning then, right? And the boys thought about this for a minute. And finally, James speaks up and says, okay, all right, Harry, tonight I forgive you. But if we're both awake in the morning, you better watch out. And that's how we are with those kind of things, right? We all need forgiveness. We all need to offer forgiveness to others as well. But it's a thing that's just incredibly difficult, right? Incredibly challenging in our world, in our life. There's so many reasons and situations where we don't want to forgive, and we don't know that we care if someone else forgives us. And so as we walk through this and consider these kind of things, maybe you had an experience where you tried to write a relationship, right? You were wanting to offer forgiveness or seek forgiveness or, you know, find a way to fix it and rectify it, and it didn't go very well, right? I think most of us probably had some kind of an experience where, you know, you maybe felt like you made the matter worse by going and trying to talk about it for whatever reason. And I think the reason is it goes back to why we're walking through the principles the way we are. Why they're designed and set up this way. Because it goes back to the first principle that says, we're not God, right? Even in our best attempts and when we try to do the right thing and those kind of things, we end up making it worse, or we fall, or we fail, or we you know, just mess it up in some way. And we realize, like I said, going back to that first principle, is we're not God, all right? We're not going to get it right all the time. We're probably not even going to get it right most of the time. Which is why, again, we need to walk through these steps and realize we have a God that loves us and cares about us and is powerful enough to help walk us through these things and these things we want to do in this world ultimately. And so when we commit to Him, step three or principle three is we commit to God, that this good, loving, caring, powerful God, to do these things, and we can start to look at our lives and evaluate our lives to see where are we at and what are we doing and what are we trying to accomplish, and then through His power, right? Last week, we kind of made the first step into how do we fix this? How do we make this right? How do we put this all together for our own growth and for maybe recovery, we can call it, to this morning and the next. And really, this morning is kind of, to me, the pinnacle of it all, of why do we go through the first four or five steps and why do we bring this all together? And it really is, again, about those relationships. How do we right those wrongs? How do we fix the things that we've broken or other people maybe have broken in our life to put this all together? Probably one of the hardest things that we try to do in this world, but also, again, one of the most important. And so principle six, if you haven't been with us, you'll catch on. You'll be all right. So principle six says this. It says, evaluate all of my relationships. I'm going to offer forgiveness to those that have hurt me, and I'm going to make amends for harm that I've done to others when possible, except when to do so would to harm them or others. And so that's an important caveat. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but the other two are important principles. We see this in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Right? Again, that foundation. How do we forgive, or why should we forgive is going to be drawn from that as well. And so this morning, it's going to be a lot of list. And so if you're a list person, you should be really excited this morning because we're just going to bullet point kind of things. If you're not a list person, you'll be fine. I'm going to go through, you know, two big sections that are broken down into points this morning for you. So hopefully you can stay with me and we can work this out. I think this is really, really important and helpful kind of stuff. Doing it in practice is more challenging, but understanding where we're at and what we're going to talk about, I think, is really important as well. And so we have two parts of this, and we've already covered this, but forgiving, we're going to forgive those who have hurt us, make amends or offer forgiveness to those that we have hurt, right? The two big things that when we're trying to make and work relationships, both of these are essential to having a long-lasting, good relationship. And so we're going to start with the whys of both of these, or the why and then the how of each of these individually. So the why of why we should forgive those who have hurt us starts out with this: because God has forgiven me. And for those of us that are Christians, that should probably be enough, right? I can say this: God forgave you and I and all, and so we can just move on to the next point. I like to talk, so we're going to talk about this for a second. So the nature of this, I think, is so important is because sometimes it's how we view other people. Sometimes, and it's easier for us to be like, yeah, God forgives me. Yeah, I know that God can forgive me and should forgive me, but I don't know about him or about her or about them, right? We can focus on ourselves and we're the hero of our own story often, right? Whereas, you know, if somebody hurts us, they're the villain right away, right? And so we understand why God would forgive us, but did God really forgive him or her? And we don't say that out loud, right? We don't say that out loud, but we definitely maybe think, or the way we interact with those around us, we think about that. And so what I do, or what's helpful for me, especially when someone in my world is extra frustrating or someone that I have a real hard time getting along with, is I try to reevaluate my expectations, right? Reevaluate how I view that other person. And I kind of do this, and hopefully this doesn't sound really negative, but we expect certain things from a baby or a toddler like Lincoln, right? We expect if he's going to throw a fit on the floor or say ball throughout the service or what do all those kind of things, we expect that. If an adult does that, we get a little more frustrated, right? If an adult lays down on the floor and starts kicking and throwing their arms, we might have a problem with that, right? And so we have different expectations for different, you know, ages and different, you know, abilities. And we think about maybe someone that has a mental or a physical, you know, shortcoming or disability. We have, you know, we don't expect the same things as others, right? And so what I do, and that person that I'm struggling with or having a hard time with, I just try to lower my expectations, right? I try to keep in mind that maybe they're struggling with something, or maybe they don't quite understand what's going on here, or maybe they can't quite grasp how I'm feeling or what I'm doing. And so my expectations, I try to view them a little bit differently and try to view them as maybe just not quite being able to grasp or understand what's going on in this world or what's going on with me. And so when my expectations shift, it allows me to be just a lot more patient, a lot more gracious and calm with that person. And so I think that's an important aspect to how we forgive as well, is that we tend to be able to forgive easier and be able to offer that forgiveness easier when we see them, and to me, that's how God sees them, right? We see them as someone that God loves and God cares about and that God has forgiven them as well. So we forgive because God has forgiven us. And I think it's important, too, that on the flip side of that, we may not be able to forgive because we don't feel forgiven. And for me, that's a harder thing to grasp. That's just something we have to pray about and process and to deal with. If we don't feel forgiven by God, then it's really hard for us to go out and forgive others. And so that may be the foundation of how we move forward as well. Number two, because resentment doesn't work. Because resentment doesn't work. Job 5:2 says, "To worry yourself," I like this verse, "to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do." But we all still do it, right? We know it's silly, we know it's wrong, or not wrong as much, but just not going to work. But we still do it. There was a little boy, and he was sitting on this park bench, and he just looked like he was in the most pain possible. And he's, you know, kind of almost screaming out that he's in pain. And this guy walking past comes up to the boy and says, "Are you in pain? What's going on? Are you hurting?" And he says, yeah, it hurts, but I'm sitting on this bumblebee." And the man's like, "Well, why don't you just get off the bumblebee?" And the little boy says, "Well, I'm pretty sure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me, so it's okay." And we do that as resentment in a nutshell, right? We think we're going to hurt that other person because we're going to hold a grudge and because we're going to be mad and angry and upset and do all these kinds of things. When, you know, there's an old saying that says resentment is basically drinking poison and expecting the other person to feel the, you know, effects of it, right? And so that's the nature of resentment, is we forgive because holding on to that grudge, that resentment, is not going to help, right? No one has ever said, I feel so good holding on to this resentment, right? And so the nature of all of those things and the nature of being able to find ways to forgive, let's go of that resentment so that we can, again, move forward and have a better relationship. Maybe not even a better relationship with the other person, we do usually, but we can feel better ourselves. A Dr. S.I. McMillan wrote a book that said the two greatest causes of physical problems were actually guilt and resentment. Guilt and resentment. He says, it is not so much what you eat, but what eats at you that matters. And that's the physical side, is that we're impacted by those things. The third thing in this one is because I will need forgiveness in the future. Because I will need forgiveness in the future. Mark 11:25 says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Right? This idea of if I want to be forgiven in the future, if I want God and people to forgive me as we move forward, then I need to offer that forgiveness as well. We're going to talk more about Mark chapter 11 in Sunday school, because I really like what Jesus says. It's an interesting passage, because this kind of comes out of nowhere when Jesus is talking, but it's such an important aspect to how we interact and the way that we view the world as well, is that if I'm not willing to forgive, if I'm going to hold on to my stuff, then how can I expect others around me to forgive me as well? I've just finished this week, or read this week, a biography about John Wesley. And John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church and the movement in England that moved into America. And so what he says, someone came up to John Wesley and he says, well, I can never forgive that person, never. To which John Wesley replied, then I hope, sir, that you never sin. And so the nature of us offering forgiveness is a reciprocal thing, that we receive forgiveness as well. And so we did the why of how to forgive. How can we forgive those who hurt us? And I think these are really helpful. So if you're really kind of struggling with these things, these are things to reflect and to ruminate on, in my opinion. So we reveal our hurt. We express it in some way. And that's not, you know, blowing up and yelling at the person. That's not what the revealing the hurt's about. It's about sharing it and confessing it in a positive and productive way. So there are four options, and I wish I had these on the screen, so hopefully these connect with you. But there's four options for expressing a hurt. Or dealing with a hurt. The first thing is you can repress it. You can pretend it never happened, right? And we do that. We try to do that quite a bit. We can suppress it, which is pretend that it doesn't matter, right? Even though it hurts us, we're going to try to pretend it doesn't matter. That's suppressing. We can express it, which is a lot of times the yelling and the screaming and the shouting, that anger coming out in a powerful way. And the fourth, and obviously the best option, is confess it. We admit that it hurt us, and we express that to someone in some way, or some, you know, get it out in some way. So we can repress, suppress, express, or ultimately confess it. And so as we get that out, as we express it in some way, we're able to move forward. A lot of times we like to close, right? We say, well, it happened in the past. It's done and away with. So I'm just going to close the door on it. The problem is we don't really ever close the door if we don't actually get it out and express it. So there's the closure. Yeah, we might feel like we have a closure on it, but are we disclosing what's going on in our hearts and our mind? So we reveal our hurt, but we also then can release the offender, right? The only way to release is ultimately to forgive. Otherwise, that just continues to hang out there. Otherwise, that just continues to be there. Sometimes, and I thought of this as like a rock in your shoe. Rocks in my shoe just drive me crazy. Some people, I think, can deal with that better than I can. But sometimes it's a tiny little rock. Sometimes it doesn't really seem to impact us a whole lot. We can kind of walk, and eventually it falls out, or, you know, we are able to get it out in some way, and we can kind of let it go, right? And a lot of our offenses, a lot of the times that we're hurt by something, we can, you know, talk about it, we can get it out, and then it's kind of done with, and we can move on. But it's those things that we find that build up and grow, those larger rocks, or those things that we can't seem to get out. You know, it's like stuck into the material of your shoe, and so you can't, you know, shake it out easily. we have to deal with in a different way. But either way, we have to release the offender. Matthew 18:21-22, Peter calls or comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I will forgive him? As many as seven times." And Peter was being generous with the seven times. But Jesus says to him, "I say not to you seven times, but 77 times." Not just once, not just twice, not just... And really what Jesus is saying, you just keep forgiving, right? They keep hurting you, they keep offending you, they keep coming, and maybe even they're coming and asking for forgiveness. Our role, Jesus calls us to do, is just continue to forgive, continue to release the offender. Being people filled with grace and allowing people that release from what they've done. And so, how do we know when we've released the offender? Sometimes we just know. Sometimes we feel, you know, we have that peace and we understand that. But I think the first thing that we do is that when we see them or we think about them, it doesn't hurt anymore. I was in a conflict, I guess. I had a rough relationship with a gentleman for quite a while. And anytime after, you know, things kind of got, you know, I felt like he had done some things and we got kind of to the climax of everything. Anytime I would see his car or a car that looked like his car, I wanted to throw rocks at it. I didn't have to be the same color. If it looked similar or kind of had the same model or whatever, I got angry. I got upset. Clearly, I hadn't forgiven him and let go of that situation. Today, I'm fine. Today, I can sit and talk with him, and we have an okay relationship as far as that goes, and I could work with him and those kind of things. But obviously, you know, wanting to throw rocks at a car that looked like his is not letting it go, right? It's not releasing the offender. But we get to that point where we don't feel that anymore. We realize we've maybe forgiven them or come to that point. The other thing is if we can pray a blessing on that person. If you can pray and honestly say, I want them to have a healthy and a productive, successful life, and God to bless them, then we can say that we've forgiven them. And I think lastly, and maybe most importantly, is when we can understand their hurt rather than our hurt, we've kind of understood the forgiveness process. And really, to me, that's the biggest part of forgiveness, is understanding someone else's hurt, someone else's pain, someone else's part of that process, rather than focusing on our own pain. There was a pastor who had arranged a gathering of the women's auxiliary, and they were going to have a garden party in the yard under the old oak tree. On the day of the party, he realized that he had forgotten to send one invitation, and that was to Sister Hissy Fit. Understanding and realizing his error, he calls her very quickly and says, Mrs. Hissy Fit, I apologize. I didn't mean to leave you off, but I forgot to send you an invitation. And she cuts him off and says, Pastor, it's no use begging. I already prayed for rain. Clearly, she forgave him. All right. The last thing we do is we replace my hurt with God's peace. And to me, this is where we find hope and future moving forward. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." As we release the offender, as we reveal our hurt, we can allow our hurt then to be replaced with God's peace. And again, I'm the same way, right? I want to hold on to at least a little bit of that resentment, right? A little bit of that frustration and anger. For whatever reason, that's just human nature or why we do it. But I know we've probably all experienced this, where when we can really let it go, where we can be like, that, you know, I've worked through this, I've dealt with it, I've prayed for, you know, God's blessing on this person, all these things. When we really have that peace about that relationship, it's so much, much better than trying to hold on to any kind of hurt or pain that we have in that situation, right? And we get to this point of God's peace through prayer, through reading God's word, through worship, and talking with others about it as well. So that's for the forgiveness side, why and the how of forgiving someone else. So how do we, and this is to me probably even the harder one, is how do we make amends for others? Why we make amends for those that hurt us. First is because we have unresolved relationships are the root of our problems and prevent us from growing, right? That's really having those disjointed and broken relationships really impact all of our world and the things that we're doing in this world. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, strive for peace with everyone, and the holiness without which no one and for holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So the idea, again, is striving for that peace, seeking for making amends, seeking for forgiveness, and owning our part in that. And I've found in my experience that the more I'm willing to go and say, I made a mistake, I apologize for my part in this relationship, the other people are willing to respond with, well, yeah, I know I made this choice or this mistake as well. And we tend to reciprocate that in those dynamics and situations as well. It's such an important aspect, again, to understand our role and our part in a relationship. Even if someone else is 75, 80, 90% wrong in the situation and they're the ones that caused most of the problem, most of the time we can respond with something that we did in that dynamic to make it better or right and offer our side of it as well. So that's the why. We do it because our relationships depend on it, offering that. But how do we do it? How do we make amends to those that we've hurt? First is we need to make a list of maybe things that we've done, people that I've harmed, things that I did, and we have to be specific, things that we specifically did, specific situations where we've done this. And if we can't think of anyone, we need to think harder. So what we need to do is we need to really sit down and be like, okay, what maybe debts? And here's some specifics, I guess. What are some debts that I owe that I haven't paid? Maybe financial, maybe relational, maybe favors that we maybe need to repay. What broken promises have I, or what promises have I broken towards someone else? In situations, am I too controlling, too possessive, too critical of someone else? Have I been verbally, physically abusive to someone? Have I been unfaithful? Have I in some way, or have I lied to someone? And I think this is a big one for me. If is there someone that I avoid in this life, in this world, because of something that I'm feeling inside of me? Right, an awkwardness or an anger or frustration. If there's any of those anger, frustration, even awkwardness that we experience, a lot of times there's something in there that we need to deal with and we need to work out. And so we make a list of the things that we've done and those that I've harmed. We also think of how we'd like to make someone to make amends to us, right? And this comes straight from what Jesus says in the Golden Rule, Luke 6:31. As you wish that others would do to you, you so do to them. Which I don't like that translation, right? I want the translation that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Basically, that's the Golden Rule is the Golden Rule because it's good advice for all situations, but especially when we're trying to reach out to someone. If we're trying to make amends, if we think about it, if how we want someone to come and do that for us, and we respond and do that to others, it makes the situation so much better. Right, and so we consider the time. Is this something that's a good time for them to talk about and to work it out? You know, if they've got five kids running around and they're trying to watch their five kids, it's probably not the best time to have a serious conversation about things, right? Or if they're, at work or something, it's finding the right time that's good for them. Bringing the right attitude, which I think is just a good advice in life in general, but when we come and try to make things right in a relationship, having a flippant attitude about it's not going to be helpful. Well, I guess the pastor said I need to be sorry for things, so I'm here and I'm sorry, right? That's not going to work. Probably really well, anyway. But having a good attitude and the right attitude about really being authentic and honest, right? We all have seen kids apologize to each other, and they're like, I'm sorry, sorry. And that's not going to work well in adult relationships. And so finding the right attitude, but also, is it appropriate? And I'm going to say this kind of caveat. There are probably a few situations where talking about it, bringing something up from the past is just so emotionally charged or something, especially I just think of like abuse situations. Maybe it's better not to open that can of worms in a conversation and talking it out, but those are very few and far between. We like to use that as an excuse. Well, it's just not worth opening that can of worms. But maybe it is. Maybe it's worth talking about it if it's not going to be harmful to that other person or to you in that way as well. And so the last thing we want to consider when we're making amends is that we need to refocus our life, right? Shift the way that we're thinking and viewing that person. A lot of times, unfortunately, and this is part of human nature, but a lot of times is we go and we apologize to someone, and then the next breath we do the same thing that we just apologized for, right? And we all know situations and relationships and dynamics where they'll apologize 1 second, and the next second they're back doing whatever they apologized for. And part of that's human nature. So again, that's why Jesus says, you've got to keep forgiving, because it's human nature that we're going to keep messing up. But also part of this is, if we're going to make amends, truly consider, well, why did I do that in the first place? Or why am I apologizing for this over and over again? Maybe there's something in my heart and mind that I need to continue to look at and to move forward. Corrie ten Boom, who I've talked about numerous times. I love Corrie ten Boom. Wish I would have met her at some point. I guess I'll see her in heaven. But she was a wonderful Dutch Christian lady that lived during World War II, and she helped a lot of Jewish Christians escape Nazi Germany during the war. She herself ended up in a concentration camp for a while as well. But Corrie tells a story about the difficulty she had in forgiving others, especially a specific person. And just like us, she would spend time just ruminating in her head the situation and what happened and what had been done to her. And because of her just processing and not being able to figure out how to let go, she lost sleep over this. And even after she felt like she forgave him, right, honestly and authentically forgave him, the sleepless nights continued for days and weeks. And so finally, she was able to talk to a Lutheran pastor about this. And what he said is basically, you know, yes, you've forgiven him. You've made that, you know, choice in your mind and maybe even talked to him about it. But the problem is that it's like when you go and ring a church bell, right? You pull that rope and the dings and dongs and dings and dongs, and you keep, you know, pull it till it as it rings. But even after that rope is let go, you know, you let go of that rope, there's still a ding and a dong and a ding, because that bell needs time to slow down and finally, you know, slower and longer time between the dings and dongs and for it to finally stop. And he says it's the same way with forgiveness. Is we may let go of that rope. We may have let go of the situation. We may have forgiven that person. But those emotions take a while to deal with and to process, right? There's a phrase that says, you know, time heals all wounds. And it's not just time that heals wounds. And it doesn't necessarily even heal all wounds. But there is a factor where time is a part of this as well. And so even if we work through this and process this, we do all these things to forgive others, to seek forgiveness, is we have to understand that time is a factor in this as well. And so as we let go of that rope, we allow those dings and those dongs to slowly reverberate and to eventually die out. Our lives and our relationships can grow through that as well. And so wherever you're at and whatever you're thinking about and dealing with, I just pray that whatever, maybe there was a person in the back of your mind, when I'm preaching this, there is a person in a situation in the back of my mind. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I think most of us probably can think of a person or situation in the back of our mind as we walk through this. And whatever that is, I imagine that that's something that God desires for us to pray about, to think about, and consider how we can move forward from that as well. So as we do that, my prayer is that we always, always, always remember to go back to principle one, is we're not going to be able to do this on our own. We're not going to be able to do this by our own power, by our own strength, by our own will. We need God's care and protection and guiding to be able to move forward and for our relationships to be stronger. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the forgiveness you gave to us, that each and every single one of us in this room has been offered the forgiveness through your Son, and we're able to hopefully embrace that, to accept that, to own that, so that as we know and understand and even maybe feel that forgiveness, we can bring and carry that forgiveness and seeking of amends to those around us. I just pray that whatever conviction or person or situation we have in our mind right now, that you help us to take steps this morning, today, this week, to find a way to forgive them in our minds, forgive them in your hearts, and maybe even approach them and figure out a way to make that relationship better again. We just pray that you allow us through your grace to know your love through that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team can come on up.